Drivers, there's some news on the ELD mandate. So why don't we turn to our friends at Omnitrax, our go-to partners when it comes to everything ELDs. Tom Cuthbertson from Omnitrax joins us right now. Tom, welcome. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you? Good morning, in my case.
Yeah, and we appreciate you staying up late, Tom, to bring us some updated information. Let's talk about what has happened or maybe possibly could happen on Capitol Hill with the ELD mandate. What do we know?
Yeah, well, a bill was introduced to the House Infrastructure and Transportation Committee, and the actual language in that particular bill has not been released yet. The headlines in the trade press, you know, says that it's posing a two-year delay on the mandate. But this bill, you know, until the language comes out and it's published and people can look at it, you know, it's still in a way that has to go through a whole process.
All right. So we know that, I guess, still as of now, nothing has changed because a bill would have to be signed into law. So nothing has changed on the mandate itself. So should drivers and small carriers wait and see what happens before buying a solution? Is that advisable here?
Well, you know, I don't think so. When you look at the process, you know, bills have to go through the House and they have to go through the Senate. So they just like when, you know, the initial legislation that brought the mandate forward, you know, and that takes some time. And, you know, there's not a guarantee of is something going to happen or something not going to happen. And, you know, where we are in the state, you know, here we are at the end of July already, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's only basically 5 months left to the compliance date. So, you know, a suggestion is, I don't think people should still wait. I think people really need to look at what their options are and what's available at what cost. Because if something doesn't happen and you let 3 months go by, you know, waiting for something to happen, you're still in a certain position.
Right. And of course, that could be problematic if nothing changes and you've waited till the last minute, of course. And I have said over the years, Tom, that, you know, when drivers move away, and I've said this because drivers tell me this and companies tell me this, but moving away from paper logs, of course, once they do that, there was a lot years ago, and you probably are aware of this as well as anyone. There was this, I guess, sky is falling mentality, I know, about moving away from paper logs. But then when I talk to drivers who have gone with, you know, ELDs, they tell me, you know, wow, how much it has changed their operation and their business and just their day-to-day routine and what kind of time it saves them and paperwork and everything else. And I know you folks at Omnitrax, in fact, are seeing that kind of feedback from people. And so let's talk about this. Beyond mandates, right? Let's talk about, first of all, the ELD itself and how this can assist the end user, the driver. So let's talk about with certain delays, consignee delays. Where do we start there? How can an ELD help in that situation?
Well, in that situation, and as you probably know, I've been around since the beginning of telematics and trucks.
Yeah.
And when you look at this, and I do a lot of presentations in the industry, and I do talk to quite a few drivers face-to-face. And, you know, one of the things that comes back all the time is a shipper consignee delay. You know, what am I going to do? How can I have it taken care of, and how do I know what's going on? Well, you know, realistically, if you look at paper, right, and you're using paper, there's nothing that proves on paper where you were and how long you had been there, right?
Right.
But when you get into an ELD, and the requirements that were in an ALBRD and the requirements are even more pronounced in an ELD, it's going to show when you were in a drive segment, when that drive segment ended, when you went into your on-duty segment and arrived at that shipper consignee to pick up or drop off. You have a GPS timestamp and a GPS location. And what I get all the time is, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to prove I was there? Mm. Well, now you have it, right?
Right.
Now you're allowed to make an annotation inside something that's electronically recording with a GPS location and an accurate timestamp. This is how long I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have something to pick up and show and to the shipper and saying, look, I got to get going. I'm running out of hours.
Yeah.
Right. You got to get me loaded. Look where I am. I'm gonna have to have some time, you know, to get my hours back. Right. Sitting here, or you got to get me loaded.
Yeah.
Here, before with paper, you didn't have a clock in and clock out that much at shippers. They may have written something at the gate, but now you got something that says, you know, you don't have enough hours to get out of there, and you don't have enough hours to get to a place where you can get into the sleeper berth or take a 30-minute break that you may need or whatever that happens to be.
Sure.
But now you have a lot of detail.
Yeah, right. And you know, let's keep going in terms of hours of service here. And so overall with hours of service, beyond those types of delays, how can the ELD reduce the violations for hours of service?
Well, yeah, and I look at all the statistics all the time on this, you know, and there's a website within FMCSA called Mixness, and it shows how many types of violations, you know, were there over the years. And one that's there, has been there, and it's really the top one all the time, are form and manner violations. And they don't seem like much, but, you know, they're simple things. Somebody forgot to put the manifest number of the shipper and commodity on, right?
Right.
Somebody didn't put a location when they changed. It wasn't there, right?
Yeah.
And if you take a look at this, you know, now you have something that says, you know, it prompts you. Now, and this means that your 5-truck fleet, a 2-truck fleet, or a single truck fleet, as well as 500, if you have integration, a lot of this stuff could be populated for you. If you're an operator running for somebody, sometimes that integration has, you know, 90% of the data populated. And even if not, and you're single truck, 5-truck, you have something right there that's going to keep prompting you to say, hey, I need to enter my manifest number. I don't have it in here.
Yeah.
And when you look at this, because that's one of the highest ones, and I'm not going to be naive to people and say, oh, it's going to eliminate 100%. But you have a good possibility of 50% plus of those types of form and manner violations going away because you have the ability to have it right in front of you and it's recorded. Yeah. And most systems like ours will prompt you when you're missing something.
You know, this is something that I guess that maybe you don't consider because maybe this is part of it, Tom, when I hear a driver after moving away from paper logs come back, I guess you don't walk yourself through every single scenario. It becomes something different when it is part of your operation, it's integrated into your operation, and then you start using it, then you realize, wow, with a paper log, it would have been this and that. And one of the things that we have discussed over the years, too, and we have a lot of Canadian drivers listening, is that, you know, the driving between U.S. and Canada and how you log that, how you keep track of that. But, you know, overall log accuracy. So break it down for us. How does an ELD work when it comes to driving between the U.S. and Canada in terms of log accuracy here?
And this is something where, you know, you get into the math, too, and remembering what you did when. Mm. Right, the rules in Canada and the rules in U.S. are different.
Right,
they're similar, but they are different. Right, and when you go into Canada, you must be driving on one of the Canadian rules. And if you're in the U.S., you know, most drivers are picking at 60 or 70. Mm. Right, and when you do that, you know, systems out there, and this is where people should look at them. Some will look at a jurisdiction flag and say, "Oh, I just crossed the border. I'm going to automatically kick into that rule set." And I'm going to start calculating based on the Canadian rules.
Right.
So that's a math change, you know. If you're running 60, 70, that's not real hard math. But when you switch, you got to remember there's a 13-hour drive day up there, and there's a 14-hour duty day, and there's a 16-hour elapsed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to tell people that, oh, by the way, I was in Canada. So when enforcement looks at it, they see you were in Mississauga or Hamilton, Ontario.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're running the right rules. Now you come back into the States, you're still responsible for making sure you do the right math on 70.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And the right math of drive time for that day. Say you switch during the day.
Right.
Yeah. That math it's taken care of. And it, and I'm not saying, you know, it's you know, rocket science, but it's math, and it's,
well, yeah,
and you have to know the timestamps.
Right, right.
These things take care of that for you.
Yeah. Sometimes compliance math, it seems like rocket science, especially in that situation, as you mentioned. It's not as if what happened, you know, on the other side of that border in either case, it just goes away. All of that applies, of course, to where you are today and how much time you've got ahead of you left on your clock. And so, you know, this is something where I have said over the years, you know, don't forget about listening to me. Listen to the experts and listen to the drivers out there who are using this technology. And, of course, we have been partnering with Omnitracs and so grateful to have the expertise of your entire crew there, Tom, to help us out on these things and understand it, again, beyond mandates, because we certainly want to be compliant. Everyone wants to be compliant, but you also want to make sure your operation is streamlined, and you want every single benefit that you can get. And there's a great, great website that you guys have, eldfacts.com, eldfacts.com. I was just going through your latest contribution there from just a few days ago, and this is the great thing about this website. It's not just, you know, a list of things, but the contributions from people from Omnitracs and telling you, you know, some information that apply maybe to your scenario or your application. Personal conveyance and yard moves, one of the things you wrote about just a few days ago, Tom, at eldfacts.com. Bookmark that site. Go there often, drivers, and stay up to date on the information when it comes to ELD compliance and also when it comes to the technology in general and how it can benefit you in your operation every single day. It's always great. Tom, thank you so much. And I know we'll talk to you again soon. We'll keep an eye on what's going on Capitol Hill, and we appreciate you bringing us up to date. Thank you for staying up late, and thank you again.
All right. Thanks very much for having me, and please keep safe.
Red Eye Radio.